I have a question. How many know what today is? It's Sunday. Much of the world thinks of it, calls it Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday, you may have heard about, but maybe don't know much about. Where did that come from? Palm Sunday is always the Sunday before Easter. Our calendars show that Easter this year is next Sunday. So today is Palm Sunday. And we'll discuss a bit more about that as we go along in today's lesson. The lesson's about Easter. What does the Bible say about Easter? That would be the question that we're looking at. Easter is something that goes back for centuries. Long, long time ago. Matter of fact, history records that the first resemblance of anything that was recognized as Easter was in the late 2nd century, which would be like 175 A.D. or after, what, toward the ending of that. Where did it come from? What is its origin? What do we know about it? What is being practiced today in what the world may think of as Christendom or Christianity? Is that something that we are to think about and observe and go in life about it? Well, what about it? Here's the point. Easter really is a combination of three different events. Have you noticed on the calendar that Easter is never on the same Sunday every year? It's always on Sunday, but never the same Sunday. This year, our calendar falls. It'll be April the 20th. Today's the 13th. So next Sunday will be April the 20th. Sometimes it's in March. And how does that come about? Well, it comes about by a convergence or mingling of three different things. One, the Hebrew Passover, which God had given the children of Israel back in the Old Testament, that signaled the time that death passed through the land in Egypt. And the Israelites were escorted out of Egypt and on their way to the promised land. And it's known as the Passover. That is, when death went through the land of Egypt that time, it passed over the Israelites who had the blood of a lamb sprinkled around the doorpost of their house. It also is a emergence of a pagan holiday, a god of the Saxons, and that would celebrate the springtime of the year of new life. And then it also has connection with a celebration to remember the resurrection of Christ. In our world today, particularly in America, people know about Christ and think about His resurrection from the dead. We recognize and show from the Scripture that He was raised early on that first day of the week, the day we call Sunday. So when you merge all three of those together, that is where the celebration of such comes from. Another concept or thought, well, exactly when would then Easter fall? Because it's a different time every year. Well, the idea of when that would be coming about was first discussed around 325 A.D. at the Council of Nicaea. In that council, they decided that they needed to celebrate Easter and that it would be on a Sunday. but they did not declare at the time exactly which Sunday that would be. It would be sometime in the spring, but it would be on a Sunday. Well, it wasn't until the 7th century in the 600s that it finally became thought of or recognized, generally accepted across Christianity, that it would be on a specific Sunday. Well, how still does it come about that? Well, Easter is determined to be on the first Sunday after the first full moon that can fall on or after the first day of spring. So that means that Easter would be celebrated, and our calendars go along with that, anytime between March the 21st and April the 25th. The first day of spring generally is March the 21st. That's during the vernal equinox. That's when the sun, the moon, those kind of things turn toward the spring, the ending of a long winter and the beginning of a new season, a season of spring. And it's kind of odd. I don't know further explanation how they came about that kind of explanation of it, but that's why it's on a different Sunday every year. Anytime the ending of March, all the way nearly to the ending of April. There are many different terms and expressions that are used during this time of year. The first of which we might think of as Lent. You've probably heard of Lent. Again, the Lord's people, we don't observe any kind of Lent or Lenten season or anything like that. But Lent was invented to supposedly observe Jesus fasting for 40 days. Now, I don't know how that fits in there, but because his fasting 40 days was after his temptation, after his baptism. And he was led out of the devil into the wilderness to be tempted 40 days. But the resurrection wasn't until three and a half years later when he was crucified on the cross, buried in a tomb, and raised again. But they calculate then that's going to be the 40 days of fasting. Well, they get that begins on Ash Wednesday. We're going to talk about Ash Wednesday in just a moment. And what they do is they take the Sunday of so-called Easter, and they go back 40 days. But it's interesting, they don't count Sundays. Ash Wednesday always falls on a Wednesday. 40 days before Easter, if you don't count the Sundays. You just count the other days of the week. It's a time of supposedly penance, of showing remorse, of repentance, and preparing yourself for Easter. Well, obviously, there's nothing in the Bible about it. You can't read. I say, well, turn to this book, chapter, and verse. Here we're going to read about Lent. There's nothing there. That is all made up. It is a man-made object during that period of time. Now, it's interesting that you've heard of Mardi Gras. It's really celebrated around in New Orleans particularly. And that is an interesting period that starts back in January. And it extends all the way up until the day before Ash Wednesday. That Tuesday before the Wednesday, that Tuesday is Mardi Gras. What's interesting about it, since Lent is a period of repentance and holiness and humbleness, Mardi Gras, going back to January, is a period all the way up. It's kind of like it's all right now. We can sin, we can revel, we can run the streets, we can drink, we can all kinds of sin and terrible sins, because you can't do that now when Lent starts. It's kind of like they're maybe getting it out of their system. They kind of double up on all the sinful things they can do until Lent. Then all of a sudden, they got to be so meek and mild. And it seemed like it's crazy. But that's the concept of the idea. So, well, there's nothing in the Bible about Lent. It's all made up, made of man. And then number two, Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, it's Wednesday, that's the 40 days before the resurrection, not counting Sundays. It's always a Wednesday. Why do they call it Ash Wednesday? Well, it's Ash Wednesday in commemoration of the Lord's triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And the thought is that as the people spread palm branches in the way of the Lord, he rode upon the foal of a donkey, and people did, they praised him, Hosanna to the highest, and they pulled down palm branches and they strode him in the way, kind of like a red carpet thing. And Ash Wednesday then comes from the idea that the palm branches used in last year's Ash Wednesday, they would burn those palm branches and they would save the ashes of it until the coming year. And then the priest would bless those ashes, and he would take his finger and dip in water in the ashes and do a cross on the members' foreheads. It's a ritual kind of thing. It's a pagan kind of thing. Again, there's nothing in the Bible about that. It is totally void of that. It's supposed to observe their penance, and yet it's all made up as well. It's all man-made. Palm Sunday, again, that's the Sunday before Easter, marks the beginning of what's called the Holy Week or Passion Week. Have you ever heard of a passion play? I know for years in around Gatlinburg or Cherokee, North Carolina, they'd have a play called the Passion Play. Passion means suffering. It's supposed to call to attention the suffering of Christ as the mockery of the trial and the slapping on the face and the crown of thorns and the scourging, the suffering of Christ. And it's called a passion. And they reenact that, some kind of a play in that case. So they go back to that time when the people would spread the palm leaves along, so they call it Palm Sunday. Its observance was not known until the 4th century. That's far too long, more than 300 years after the time of Christ. And there's nothing in the Bible. It's there either about Palm Sunday. Therefore, it is all made up. It is man-made. Then there's, during the Palm Sunday week, which that supposedly is today, some calendars, you'll see that marked on the calendars. Some calendars do not mark it. They all mark Easter next Sunday, but this starts this last Holy Week or Passion Week of Palm Sunday. And they call Maundy Thursday Holy Thursday. Because that it was the time to commemorate the Lord's Last Supper with the disciples. That night when he met with them in the upper room and such, and that's to commemorate and remember that period of time. But again, though we do read of the Lord meeting with the disciples on that night before he was crucified, as far as the observance or recognition of it in anything other than a fact of history as to what they did, it's not known in the scriptures of anything about celebrating that or marking that as some kind of special occasion or special day. It's all made up too. Therefore, it is man-made. Then this week of the day after this Maundy Thursday is called Good Friday. You're supposed to have good fishing on good day to go fishing and whatever. So in this Good Friday, it's a time that is observed during the Holy Week, designed again to cause remembrance to people's or the Lord's suffering on the cross, a very solemn day observed by many as a special day. And they'll have some services sometime that last all the way for their prayer vigils and such. But again, there's nothing in the Bible about that. The Lord was crucified on that Friday. and was nailed to the cross. But again, there's nothing in the Bible other than the history of that event occurring. There's nothing there about any kind of special remembrance or to celebrate or to be mindful of. We are mindful of the fact that the Lord suffered and died for our sins, but there's nothing marked about that we are to remember it as a special day. Number six on our list is called Holy Saturday. That's the day after Palm Sunday and the day before Easter. It's supposed to be a day of vigil. Vigil means a day of waiting. Waiting, as they would think of it, the resurrection of Christ early that next morning. Services are led by a dramatic moment of the priest having a candle and lighting that candle. And afterwards, then, members would have candles, and their candles would be lit in order to symbolize the going out into the world and light going all around the world. Again, there's nothing in the Bible about a holy Saturday or candles. Those are all made up. They're all man-made. What is so special about lighting a candle? Well, we light a candle, and when the lights go out, when power goes out, we light a candle, light a lamp, a flashlight or something, but there's nothing religious, there's nothing significant about it, there's nothing holy in that sense. It's all made up. And it's funny, which is not funny in a good way at all, that people go to great lengths to make up their own religion, to do their own thing, and then call and bring special attention to it and say, as if that was something that we are to do to honor God. So there's nothing in the Bible about Holy Saturday. Then there's the day of Easter. It's also called Pascha. It's considered one of the major holidays of the year. It's interesting. I had an aunt growing up. I never knew her. A good woman. Never knew her to go to church. Any kind of church, anywhere. But I remember distinctly her saying, oh, everybody ought to go to church on Easter. Though I never knew her to go to church on an Easter. Or at least go to church on Easter and Christmas. I never knew her to go at any other time. Well, why? Is there something special about the Scriptures, the Bible, being a Christian, or something special that we would pick out a particular day or a Sunday or a holiday, and that one, they're all important, but this one is special? There's nothing in the Bible about that. So Easter, then, of course, is man-made. Sometimes there's reference made, well, in the Christian calendar, there is no such thing as a Christian calendar. Now, men can make one, and they put on it, you know, certain days. A lot of the holidays marked on their calendars as spiritual days or holy days. You've got St. Patrick's Day, St. Valentine's Day, St. Nicholas Day. You've got all kinds of saint days. You know why there's a Halloween in October the 31st every year? It's because of November the 1st. November the 1st is a holiday in the so-called Christian calendar that a lot of people don't even know about. They began to have so many holidays during the year, they were going to run out of days. So they came up with a holiday called it All Saints Day. That's November the 1st. And so the hallowedness of the All Saints Day, the evening before All Saints Day, was a hallowed even. It's kind of been muddied and said Halloween. Halloween is noted for goblins and witches and witchcraft and pranks and mayhem and trouble and you know, whatever. Trick and treat. You either trick me or treat me, or I'm going to trick you. I'm going to do. There's Halloween. That's where it comes from. Out of these things that men have tried to tack on to the Bible and use in such fashion as that. This Easter Sunday, often preceded by this Holy Saturday, a vigil all night long, we're waiting for sunrise services. So that was about the time they would say that the Lord was raised from the dead. Where's the scripture that says we're supposed to remember that as a special event and a special holiday? It's not there. And therefore, it is man-made as well. Then there's what's called Whit Sunday. How many have ever heard of Whit Sunday? That's 50 days after Easter, if you count Easter Day as the first week, and that's 50 days after that. So it's supposed to be in remembrance of Pentecost Day. We read about in Acts chapter 2 when the gospel was preached for the very first time in Jerusalem, and about the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. And on that day, new converts would be robed in white robes, new clothes, special on that day. But again, there's nothing in the Bible about that being of any significance whatsoever. It's all made up. Therefore, it's man-made. Wearing new clothes. Did y'all ever wear, seemed like when I was growing up, I never knew the point of it, but seemed like you'd get new clothes to wear Easter Sunday. You're supposed to really be decorated then. You wear a hat, of course the women did, the men didn't. And you'd have new shoes and pretty dress. And why wouldn't we do that every Lord's Day? But somehow or another this Sunday you're supposed to wear new clothes. It supposedly came about from the concept or the idea of new converts would wear on new white robes to symbolize their newness of Christianity and whatever. But again, there's nothing in the scriptures about that. It would stand to reason that when we assemble together to worship God, would we not be in the best attire that we have? Shall we down the Lord's way so much that we would just go raggedy? The Lord deserves more than that. The priests of the Old Testament, they had certain garments that they would wear. Now, we have no garments. Some men try to turn their collar around backwards and say that they're priests or holy. Every Christian is a priest. We recognize that. 2 Peter chapter 2, Revelation chapter 1 talks about every Christian's a priest. There's no special class of priests. Every Christian is a priest because we go straight to God, our Father in heaven. There's nothing about wearing new clothes. Number 10, Easter eggs. Where did that come from? Well, an egg has long been a symbol of new birth, a symbol of life, creation, the hope of the resurrection. Multicolored eggs that had their origin going back, this is odd, to some pagan deities, or the colored rays of the sun. And where did all that come from? Easter eggs, as some kind of special celebration, some kind of significance in the Bible. There is no significance in the Bible. It's all made up. That's something that man does. Well, that's not what the Bible would tell us to do. Rabbits, or bunny rabbits, that's a symbol of Easter. Again, rabbits were known for their ability to reproduce. Like an egg, very, very fertile, new life coming into the world. It is associated with Yoster, which was a pagan holiday of the goddess of fertility. What has that got to do with bringing something like that into religious connotation or religious anything? Why do people tamper and pervert and bring in? It's not about God in their mind. They think they're doing it in honor to God, but they're really satisfying their own, satisfying themselves by bringing up, making up all these weird and things that people do and think that that is, oh, that's just innocent. That's all right. But when we're tampering with the Word of God, perverting the Word of God, we're told throughout the Scriptures not to pervert the Bible in any place. In Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 to 9, we read about those who would pervert the gospel of Christ, bringing into it something that does not belong, it's not there. We read in Revelation chapter 22, about cursing, a curse being upon those who would add to God's Word or take away from God's Word. We don't tamper with the Bible. It's not our privilege to make something of it that is not there and speak where the Bible does not speak. Pretzels. You ever thought about pretzels being connected with Easter? It's supposed, because of the shape and the twisting of it, as if it represented the folded arms of someone praying. And it was long associated with an Easter celebration. And if it was made without eggs or any kind of dairy, then it would qualify as a fast food. And you could eat that during a fast in which you were involved. Originally, the hunting of pretzels on Easter. You ever heard about hiding pretzels as people hide eggs and think that that's supposed to be some kind of semblance of recognition of something holy? That is not there. Hot cross buns. You wouldn't generally think about that, but that has a connection with Easter as well. It was traditionally thought of as being an Easter treat, and especially on Good Friday, symbolizes the crucifixion of Christ. And in the Catholic religion, which most of this is where most of this comes from, totally foreign to the Bible, where a priest would do the cross on someone's forehead as if that was something special, or it's a ritual that's going far beyond what the Bible says. All of these things are all made up by man. No connection with the Bible whatsoever, except what people want them to be. So Easter stands without any Bible authority whatsoever. It's on the calendar. We've grown up with it. We see how people observe it and recognize it. They think it's the most special day of the year, along with December 25th, the so-called birthday of Christ. It's supposed to be so special. But where do we read anything in the Bible about observing on a special event these kind of things, such as Easter or Christmas? In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, we are warned by inspiration given to Paul not to go beyond that which is written. Don't go beyond what's written. When we come up with an idea and engage it as though it were, has a some religious significance, we're going beyond what's written. We are vowed, promised by God to do exactly what the Bible says. In 2 John verses 9, 10, 11, we also have a warning about doing things going beyond the doctrine of Christ. And the Bible says there, you have not God. And you add to the Word. You take something out or you put something in any kind of way that detracts from what God has already given. He says then you have gone too far, and that is not of God. What a tragedy that is. Well, we are told in the Bible to remember the Lord's suffering and death. We do that as directed in the Scriptures every Sunday, every Lord's Day. One Sunday, one first day of the week is not any more important, any less important than every other Sunday. Depending on how the calendar falls, there's normally 52 Sundays in a year. Sometimes there's 53 on those leap years when it kind of catches up, depending on when January the 1st comes around. But we're told to remember the Lord's suffering and death. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, the disciples there in the congregation at Troas had been given the order upon the first day of the week, let every one of you partake of the Lord's Supper. That was the point that was made. They came together to break bread, which was a shorter form of breaking the unleavened bread and drinking of the fruit of the vine. What's interesting about that, sometimes, brethren, and I grew up believing this. I thought this was what was taught, that in the Lord's Supper, about which we're to partake here shortly, was to help us to remember about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. The resurrection of Christ is not connected with the Lord's Supper. It's only limited to His suffering and His death. We read about the Lord's resurrection in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, Acts again 20 and verse 7. That is different or separate from the Lord's Supper. So we remember the Lord's Supper in our observance on the first day of the week. That brings to our mind His suffering and His death on the cross. But the fact that we meet on the first day of the week, on Sunday, that's a remembrance of the Lord's resurrection, because that's the day on which He was raised from the dead. We didn't decide that. We can read that in the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. The church at Corinth, the church at Troas, that was the church, that was the obligation of churches everywhere. They met on the first day of the week to worship God, to sing and to pray, to give of their means, to hear a lesson from God's Word, and to partake of the Lord's Supper. And the two are not really connected in that regard. So what does the Bible say about Easter? Absolutely nothing. Zero, nilch, nada, nothing. It's not there. There's silence. Some people think that silence will authorize. Since the Bible doesn't condemn it, this is the thought of a lot of people. If the Bible doesn't condemn it, then it must be all right. Mainly that's one of the philosophies that Martin Luther held, and a lot of people after him have held that. So if the Bible doesn't condemn it, then it's all right to do. But according to the Scriptures, what we are only obligated to do, what the Bible teaches. Colossians 3 and verse 17. That we are to always say and all we do is to be done in the name of the Lord, which means by the Lord's authority. So every action that we partake in, everything we teach, everything we do, we must be able to turn to a specific Bible passage and say, here's what the Bible says. Therefore, we are doing what is recorded right here. This is what the early church did. There is no command in the Scriptures about Easter or Lenten season or all the special days or holidays, performances. There's no command about that. There's no example about that anywhere in the Bible. There are no special days and observance in the Lord's Supper whatsoever. Man has invented and brought up all of these points. We're simply to do a thus saith the Lord. So in light of all of those things, we offer the gospel invitation. Anyone here today that's never obeyed the gospel, you can do that. The Lord went to that old rugged cross and died for the forgiveness of your sins, of my sins, for the sins of the whole world. But that will go unheeded until the person will repent of their sins, confess faith in Christ, and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. What a blessing we have in knowing the Lord's will and doing it, having book, chapter, and verse for everything. We're not making these things up. We're just simply following what the Bible says. Don't add to God's Word. Do not take away from God's Word. That's the point in all the Scriptures and all of these places. So if there's one here today that's never named the name of Christ to become a child of God, then won't you repent of your sins and come and be baptized as together we stand and sing.